Hey, what's up? You're listening up.
And right now I'm checking out Unox Drops
on Brooklyn Radio.
Hello everyone, it's me Unops and I'm back after a little random, irregular period of time. Okay, let's agree on this. On the first and third Monday each month you get my Unops Drops radio show on Brooklyn Radio, and if there is time I'll drop a new episode of Wax Talk with interesting guests, be that DJs, producers or label owner. But enough, let's get directly into the wordplay and let's begin this episode with my guests. As there are DJ Shan Francie from Australia, as well as Adam and McCroy, aka The Allergies from Bristol, UK. Let's go!
Hey, what's up? This is Shan Francie, and Unops Drops has asked me to say a few words on the show. Now, I thought I would bend the rules slightly, and rather than just talk to myself or by myself, I've brought my good buddy, my DJ partner, DJ Oblivious, aka OB, onto the show, and you're going to help me through this, aren't you, OB? How are you, buddy?
I am doing really well, and I'm going to do my best. Are you sure I'm not going to be getting you in trouble by being on the show? I feel like I'm doing
possibly.
Something.
I'm not entirely certain, but I do like breaking the rules. And of course, OB, I haven't really told you what's going on, so you're in the dark.
I have no idea.
Before we explain it all, I guess we should just explain to the listeners who we are. So I'm Shan Frenzy, you're DJ Oblivious. I'm in Sydney, Australia. You're down in Melbourne. And we host a radio show. Give us the details of our radio show very quickly.
Okay? Our radio show is called The Low End Theory, and it comes out of a station called Base FM, which is in Auckland, New Zealand. We host it every Thursday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. New Zealand time. Actually, that's Australian time, and then which is 10 a.m. See, I don't even understand the time differences here, man.
It all gets very complicated.
It's completely convoluted.
Yeah, you can check out the podcast at thelowendtheory.com.au. And our show, obviously, it's all about music, but we also interview really cool musical people from all around the world. Yeah, such as Femi Kuti, Keith Sweat, Ali Shahid Muhammad, Steinsky and Double D. Who else? Professor Daddy O from Stetsasonic. We have
the list
so
goes
many cool
on, man. The
on
Allergies, that, yeah. Kylie Aldous, yeah. The Bamboos, yeah. You name it. We've interviewed them. So lots of guests.
Yeah. That's thelowendtheory.com.au. Now, with our plug out of the way, let's get into why we're here. So Unops has asked me to relay a few stories based around some words. I was given a choice of words on this list. Okay, my first three words, we're going to do this three times. My Ooh. First three words are hip-hop, life, and grateful. Okay, so OB, obviously, you know, being a DJ and someone who's pretty involved in hip-hop, I'm sure you have a few things to say about this. But this is an easy one, I think.
Yeah.
You know, growing up with hip-hop, having been involved in the hip-hop scenes in Australia for so many years, it really is defining my life. It has defined my life. And of course, I'm pretty grateful for that. You know, it's, I think for me, being a DJ, hip hop has really afforded me the opportunity to kind of play everything and, but play it in a very discerning way. Like anyone can just play the hits or, you know, the top records of the moment. But I think a hip hop DJ can really approach music differently and come at it with a different aesthetic. What do you reckon, OB?
Mate, I reckon you've hit the nail on the proverbial head, my friend, because that's one of the reasons why I love hip-hop so much. But I've also got a very wide-ranging definition of hip-hop, which gets me into trouble in a lot of places because people say they want to listen to hip-hop whilst I'm playing rock music, for example. And I tend to think of rock music as hip-hop because I play it in a hip-hop way, you know? And so...
Well, that's the thing. Remember, like, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago when we would DJ in hip-hop clubs and, you know, like, the sort of the thing was you'd be playing, like, golden era hip-hop or hip-hop of the moment. But, you know, it's like... No, that's not really what hip-hop is. I think people have to get back to the roots that hip-hop is such a big, big umbrella term for so much music. It doesn't necessarily just have to be beats and raps.
Not at
you know,
all.
Like, think of how the old school DJs were working back in the day when they were digging in the crates and pulling out old rock songs or old funk songs. That's what hip hop has taught me as a DJ.
Could not agree more. Hip hop's done a lot for me. I probably never would have became a DJ had it not been for me going to see my friend's weekly hip hop night, for example, in San Jose. It was just one of those things, watching people play records, watching the interaction that came from the dance floor and the DJ. It was so clear to me what they were doing, and it was all to sick beats that I actually loved anyways. I was like, I want to do what they're doing, so.
And I think my final word on that as well is hip hop does set the bar in terms of you have to be at a certain level to be part of hip hop. You know, when I was getting into hip hop back in the early 80s and everyone sort of, you know, you're writing your name on trains and breakdancing on cardboard and all that kind of stuff, everyone's a toy for that first little while until they prove themselves, until they get the skill set to move forward and become an active participant and possibly a king. So I think there's kind of this gateway, there's like this entry that to be involved in hip hop, you have to be at a certain level. So being a hip hop DJ working in a non-hip hop world, that allows you to do, you know, what we do, but come at it with certain style and flair and technique that other people just can't do. They just don't know how to do it.
Which is why you don't hear too many of the new up and coming DJs claiming to be hip hop DJs anymore, because they don't want to put that time in to learn that background to the music.
Is hip hop a dying art? That's a good question for another time. And the next three words that I've picked from Unop's list of words that he's given me are 45s, love, and weird. Now, I saw your eyes light up there, OB. When I say those three words, OB, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, actually, you just described me as a 45s DJ to the letter, my friend, because I think everybody that knows me as a 45s DJ knows that I have very weird, eclectic tastes. I don't stick to one style of music ever. The hence my name, Oblivious, came from the fact that I couldn't stick to a style of music for very long. And that's exactly how I like to play my 45 sets. I like to genre hop constantly. And the weirder the track, the better, in my opinion. So yeah, that's what I think of when I hear those three
words. I'm glad you took that angle with those three words, because I've got a slightly different angle. And I don't think it'll be any surprise to you, because we've discussed this before. But I think the passion that many people have for 45, the love that people have for 45s, can get a little bit weird at times.
are you talking about the people that, you know, wear the 45s related clothing and the hats and the scarves and they got the stickers?
I'm okay with that. Okay with that. And like you, OB, you know, I was a big advocate for playing 45s, but I don't really want to let that define me as a DJ either. And, you know, like for me, it's not about the format, it's about the music. And yeah, sure, it's really fun playing 45s and it's challenging. And I've done a bunch of those gigs and was, like I said, a big advocate of that. Carried a bag of 45s around the world and did a world tour.
And to be honest, you starting hiphop45s.com, which I thought was the first real hip hop website, a hip hop 45s website, long before everybody jumped onto the 45s bandwagon. Like, yeah, man,
I
know how
I did that.
I know. And I know how far back you go with it, because that was the place I went to all the time. I think I wrote a column for you way back in the day too. So I know how far you go back with it, but yeah, I remember that, you know, you were right into that. And that was a bit of an inspiration for the rest of us that maybe we should get out there and start doing it as well because of what you're doing. So yeah, we're aging ourselves right now.
Well, I don't know. I find it a bit weird. So 45s love weird. No, I think I'm about the music. These days, I want to say, as a DJ, I'm more interested in the music. I don't really care what format it comes on.
Yep.
Still love playing vinyl, love playing digital as well. And I do love playing 45s, but 45s love weird. I thought you'd like those words there, OB. Okay, Shannon OB here, and going into our third collection of words that our good friend Unops has allowed us to choose from. The next three words, you ready, OB? Back to back, kindred spirit, selfish. What do you reckon, OB? When I say those words, what comes to mind? Back to back, kindred, selfish.
It's funny, the back-to-back reminds me, obviously, of doing back-to-back sets with DJ mates of mine. And like, if I had to go a kindred spirit that I play some pretty awesome back-to-back sets with, it'd be my man, Mr. Lob, here in Melbourne. Or AJ Ghost Notes, or yourself. You know, you're the guys that I like doing back-to-back sets with the most, because you're three of the guys that I probably see the most eye-to-eye musically with. Kindred spirits. We all love DJing music, you know, we love doing what we do.
But how does the word selfish come into this?
Selfish would probably be when I play the song I want to play. I don't give a crap if they want me to go into it or not, you know, like playing with Lob at a festival. Like, if I want to drop Peter Andre, I'm going to drop Peter Andre, no matter how much he hates it. It's going to happen. It's going to get played, because I am a selfish bastard, you know.
Big ups to Mr. Lob for keeping OB in check when he needs to be kept in check. And look, I think I'm on the same kind of wavelength as you, OB, because back to back, kindred spirit, selfish, you know, those three words for me is, well, I'm really selfish as a DJ. I actually don't like playing back to back really with anyone. Maybe apart from you though, OB, I think, you know, as we've spoken about, the times that we've played back to back have been really successful. A lot of fun musically. You know, where we kind of know where we're at. We do radio shows together, so that's a good fit. But I am a selfish DJ. I like to be very controlling when I'm DJing. And of course, kindred spirit. Really, I have to have a kindred spirit, someone like yourself, in order to make it work. So
you can't just do it with anybody. I remember back, I don't know if they did this in Sydney, but I remember back about 2002 to 2005, there were all these big Agent Mad 33 and a third breaks drum and bass festivals, and they would try to cram as many DJs as they possibly could onto the bill so they could sell as many tickets as they could, obviously. And so they would book rooms where everybody did back-to-back sets for the whole day.
Oh, they're the worst.
I know.
I hate it when they ask you to do the gig and they say, oh, everyone's going back-to-back. Can you go back-to-back with DJ whoever? And you're like, oh, really? This is going to be a constant tug of war musically. You know, I want to go one direction. The other DJ wants to go another direction. They're usually not as good as me. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say it because that's me being selfish again, but it's true.
Yeah.
Because damn it, you know, like, I'm very controlling.
And as DJs, we all think that. So I'm sure they're probably thinking the exact same thing as well. But obviously we know they're not as good as you. But what I found with those was when you finally got out of the back-to-back side rooms, that's when you knew you had made it in Melbourne. Oh, I don't have to do the back-to-back sets anymore. Yeah. I'm not in that room anymore.
When you got top billing,
I'm like, not even top billing. Like even playing the opening set on the main stage when there was basically the cleaners cleaning stuff up and setting chairs up, that was better than one of those
set.
Exactly. No, back to back. I can do what I wanted. Wow. Yeah. So that was me being selfish. I wanted that set by myself, and I very rarely do back-to-back sets. But again, like yourself, I do them with people that I trust. Yeah. I'll be doing back-to-back with my man AJ on Wednesday at Section 8, and that's going to be wicked. Big ups.
Back-to-back, kindred spirit, selfish.
Yeah, nice word combinations, and thanks for joining in, OB. Well done. And now let's head over to the allergies. Hello.
Hello, Roy, aka DJ Money Shot here.
Hello, I'm Rackaby, aka Adam. I think I did that the wrong way around, but you get the gist.
And we are the Allergies, a funky beat-making production DJ duo based out of Bristol. We're about 4 albums deep on the Jalapeno record label and make feel good and funky hip hop and sample based music, which sounds less dope than it actually is.
Haha. So what are we meant to be doing, Roy? We're meant to be picking some words and then creating windling a little story, right? But you've picked some words out for us. Am I correct?
That's it. Unops as tasters with this little game where you pick 3 words out of the bag, which he's probably already explained, and it's free to edit this out now. So our 3 words are back-to-back, kindred spirit, and grateful. What do those words mean to you, sir?
Ah, well, I'm guessing you picked those to talk about perhaps our lovely partnership in DJing and in making music and, you know, everything else that goes with running the allergies.
Indeed.
I mean, back to back, starting with that. I mean, that is all about the DJ sets, isn't it?
It is. And it's a whole way of mixing and working a crowd and traveling on the road that we've got to know and love. So you'll drop a tune, I'll drop a tune. It's the classic one-off, one-on technique. But it gives us a chance to breathe a little, feel the room and take the energy in a different direction, right?
Yeah, definitely. Although saying that, we've recently been DJing by ourselves on our webcam jams, haven't we? On our live streams on Twitch.
Back on the solo, and an hour and a half does feel like a lot longer time on your own, doesn't it?
Yeah, and mixing on the other deck as well, because yeah. I always take the left and you normally take the right.
That's it. You have to be ambidextrous. So we're very grateful for that relationship, I think, and to find someone who's got a similar taste and aesthetic and love of this music in a kindred spirit fashion, and we get the we get to play back to back all the time, so we love it. Well, we did do. That was what seems like an absolute lifetime ago.
Sad times. Okay, let's move on, because we've not got that long, have we? No. The next three words are 45s, love, and lucky.
Exactly.
So what does that conjure up for you, Roy?
Well, all about boring the small hole out of the middle of a 45, greasing yourself up, and making sweet, sweet love to it. Sorry, is this going before the watershed?
So this is radio?
Ah, right, excellent. People will be listening. Yeah, 45's love and lucky. I think it's all about our renewed love and interest in that 7-inch format. What a wonderful world we have plunged ourselves into, which happened because we started making them, so made sense to start playing them, and we grew to love them because it's a very fiddly and not too easy to command.
It's an absolutely awful format to DJ on in most respects. It doesn't sound that good, and it's very fiddly and hard, and the needle's much more likely to skip on a 45 than a 12, but... why do we love it? Why do we love them so much? I guess it's partly because we release on 45s,
yeah,
and it's delved us into that world, doesn't it? And it's just there's this whole new scene around releasing tunes on 45. Like, I've got lots of tunes on 45 that I haven't got on digital. We both still play a bit of Serato, and it's got its uses and stuff. So, but yeah, there's stuff on 45. In fact, my crates are very different, actually. My 45 record collection and my Serato crates, quite different.
That's it. With the Serato crates, you feel like you can turn around to a warehouse full of music and it can be overwhelming. But when you only pack that bag the day before or on the way to the gig or the playing that night, and you've got maybe 140 records, you've got to make some creative choices and kind of pre-imagine and get excited about the gig in hand. So, yeah.
Yeah. I do love them. I do love them.
Yeah. And we've got plenty out, so go and get them, and plenty to come. It's a format we're going to be supporting relentlessly going forward.
Until you stop buying them.
Yeah. You're not talking to me, you're talking to people out there. Yeah, they're prohibitively expensive, especially our ones. If you don't jump on them immediately, which is what you should do, you could be paying five times as much within a month. And that's ridiculous. And you deserve better.
And I feel lucky that, that's one of the other words there, I feel lucky that we have had success with selling our 45s, because I don't feel like would be as relevant to that, to this kind of disco funk hip hop scene that we find ourselves in, if we weren't releasing on hard copies of wax. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like a badge of legitimacy. I mean, we're not players or pretenders. We do this because we love it and we're good at it and all that. But I think it does help, doesn't it? I mean, we are like knocking heads and showing skills with some big boys out there. So it's good to be able to represent walk the walk, talk the talk. When it comes to it, you can't really hide much behind 245, so you've got to be tight.
That's it, that's it. And it's these live streams are revealing, aren't they? So
yeah, I've got a disco light, though, and some effects on it, and mix it, film it from a corner, and get the cat in the way, and before you know it, it'll be obscuring all my terrible mixing.
Right, next words are...
Rewind, future,
and selfish.
Yeah. Well, I thought that could probably piece together rewind and future, because we've got kind of retro vintage tastes, but we have the modern production value. So that's that bit covered. And we don't really follow trends or try and be like anyone else. So in that respect, you're kind of selfish. It's like we're not trying to pander too much, or trying to win over people we don't think would get us in the long run. So I think there's a certain selfishness, but it's kind of like an integrity or just doing some stuff that people don't generally care about. So either way, it could be seen as selfish.
Yeah, I think as well, like, what's good about being with our record label is that they don't really push us in any direction, and they've always let us do what we want to do, which I think has a lot to be said in that for being on an independent, small independent label versus being on a big major, because, you know, how many bands or acts get told, oh, you need to follow up with this kind of album by, you know, their major label, and then the major label get it wrong and their career's over.
Exactly.
Like, that happens all the time. Like, they push them in a certain direction that they think they should be in, or they try and make them make exactly the same album that they made before. And that's, you know, it's game over. It's the bands that really have a voice and do their own thing that seem to stand the test of time, in my opinion. Whereas, you know, these major label machines don't do the same thing.
So you didn't get the email from Trevor Jalapeno about the extended Techno Remix Project album coming out next from us then? Oh, no. Awkward! Yeah.
Well, he's always trying to talk us into big remixes and stuff, saying that, isn't he? But you're always mad against it.
Well, that's
somewhere in the middle, I think.
Perhaps that's a selfishness as well. I don't want anyone else to get their hands on our stuff, because it's like, we're the Allergies, we make beats based on other people's records. You remove our name from that and let someone else do that job, and it's not an Allergies record, is it? So.
Well, there's definitely some worth to be said, said in all that. It's definitely helped us keep our sound, I think.
Yeah, I think I would be keen on a remix if it was someone like The Traffic or Haggis Horns or Breakestra, like a live funk band, took it on, which is, you could keep the rap and stuff in it or whatever hook was in it, and those guys could fill it out, you know, and it'd be like a reverse.
That's a really good idea. You know what I mean? Let's pursue that conversation when we're not live on radio.
Excellent.
Definitely should.
Yeah, let's be selfish and keep that one back to ourselves, and while we're rewinding the future and put it out on a 45, which we love if we're lucky. Right, so back to the back of that. I think that's that done, and we'd like to call that a day. But I think your boy Unops also asked us to school him on 5 hip records we're digging right now. So I don't know if you've got a little list there, but shout them off.
Yeah, should we do one for one?
Yeah.
I've just picked the 5 most recent 7-inch singles I bought on Juno. That made sense. Because then I thought, I think most of them are still available, so hopefully the good listeners can go and hunt them down themselves if they like them. So I'll start. Yeah, Home Hitters just re-released Gold Digger by Kanye West on a 7-inch. I mean, man, I've always wanted that tune on a 7. It's an absolute killer. Played it on Webcam Jams the other day. Everyone went mental.
Yeah, I knew it would be absolute heat, but I'm like, it's probably one of the ones that I would buy. Like, I've stayed away from getting all your kind of big Dre ones and things like that. But that one has got absolute roots in what we do. So
I think so. And you'll be kicking yourself. It'll be on Discogs in like a couple of years for £100, won't
it? Yeah, ridiculous. Okay, well, the next track is an upfront one, something I'm going to be playing on this month's Allergies podcast. It's from a guy called Light the Fuse, or LFT. It's called King of Funk. It was originally on his album that came out last year, but it's getting a 7-inch issue for the first time by Mukatsuku. So
Mukatsuku.
I can never get that right. Unoops or Mukisku. No, we'll never get these names right. Yeah, he's a Siberian-born beatmaker, mad heavy on the chops and drums. Super dope. I went back through a little rabbit hole finding his older stuff, and I just had to get in touch with him and say, dope, love it. And now we're going to do a little vinyl exchange. So that's Light the Fuse, and the track's called King of Funk. It's got a tune called Give the Horn Some on the flip. Dope.
Right, next one for me was Ikimbi Shakedown.
Mm-hmm.
And the tune is called Kuritiba Strut. Oh, I'm never very good at pronouncing these things, but just another lovely. I love my Afrobeat, always have, and it's nice to see some of it coming out on 45s and stuff. I don't know much about this band. I think they're a fairly modern band who make super cool Afrobeaty stuff and put it out on 7. Not much more to say.
The next track is another track that's getting its first outing on 45, but from a project from maybe a year or so ago. It's Pattern Lock, and the track's called One Time. It's a bit of dope hip-hop. You can pick that up over on Juno. It's got a tune on the flip called Two Time, obviously. It's a real bad boy, funky hip hop, the way we like it, the kind of stuff we make. So check that out as well.
Nice. And my next choice is going to be The Bamboos with Ride On Time. Actually the B-side, but definitely feeling the B-side out to Pete Isaac. And yeah, what a killer. Just love those covers sometimes, man. Like just the live band. Like you were saying earlier with the Traffic and bands like that, who do really good covers. And I love the Bamboos. I don't hear enough from them. It's like they went away for a bit, but now they seem to be back with a new single and a really cool video online. So go check that out.
And the next track will be from me, and it's a guy called Snips. And the track is Brainiac Edits. Well, the release is called Brainiac Edits. That's out on Juno as well. You can pick that up soon. And it's a couple of housey type of punchy re-edits of kind of classic funk tracks, kind of like what Mr. K does and people like that. So if you like some with a little punch, but it's a little crusty, dusty breaks type stuff, then check that out. That's Snips with his Brainiac Snips. Edits.
Snips, Snips.
Yeah, I saw that, and yeah, that looks good and one of the forthcoming ones.
Yeah.
The next one for me was the Surefire Soul Ensemble with Impeach the President. Mm. Absolute, again, another really dope cover of... is it the Honey Drippers?
It is, yes.
They did the original one? Yeah. And feels like a relevant tune. Impeach the President because old naughty Donald Trump got impeached again. Don't know. Don't think it was very successful. But still, good to see the guy sweat. But yeah, really dope cover. And on the back of that 45 sleeve, there's a little story, and they just kind of say, we actually released this a long time ago, but we just had to release it again now because of the political climate of what's and everything that's going on in America, and you know, just a big middle finger to Donald, really.
Yeah, anything that can support that, the opposite side of his message, is good in our books. Up next, Daytona with Life's a Bitch. That's out on Friday's Funky 45. That's one of his kind of cool edits he does for the guys on that label, limited edition. It's got a cover of, well, a mashup, I imagine, of It Ain't All Good, which is a De La Soul, Chaka Khan thing. It's so new, I've not really heard it. I've just heard about it, so it's forthcoming. So you're going to have to, by the time this airs, go dig it out yourself. Daytona, of course, from the group Daytona, out of Cornwall, Funky Beats outfit, and killer live band. So always good to support him. And the Friday's Funky 45 label always put out heat from great beat makers across the board there.
Yeah, man, big up Daytona, a.k.a. Moss, a.k.a. the St. Ives crew, I believe. Okay, last one from me was a track called Soul On Your Side, and it was the Personify edit. I know nothing else about this track, but it was one of the last ones I bought, and it's super funky. I don't know if you know the original sample or...
I don't know if I know that one.
Soul On Your Side. Go check them out. Anyway, all these ones, I believe, are on Juno Records. Is that right, Roy?
Yeah, that's... Probably outside of Discogs, the place that I go all the time, and because they post up kind of forthcoming links, you can't really buy them yet, but fill our little Allergies Monthly What's On, What's Dope record crate with all the stuff on there. So check that out. What do we call it again? Funk of the Month? I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah. Anyhow, thanks for having us, Unops. Hope you enjoyed that waffle chat from myself and Roy, and... we'll see you next time.
Yeah, man, my cup of tea's wearing off. Let's get out of here.
Peace!
Nice stories and a cool selected top 5 of 45s. What about yours, Shan?
Hey, Shan. I heard...
Yes, OB.
A little birdie told me that Unups has actually asked you to give him a top 5 tracks that you're digging at the moment. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I've got 5 records here. Now, I don't know if they're 5 of my all-time favorites. That's like an impossible question. You know when you get asked to like, what's your favorite song?
I can never do it.
DJs.
I can never do it. And I change constantly. Every week I have a new favorite song, you know? It's impossible.
So I thought long and hard about this, and I just pulled out 5 songs that I'm kind of vibing on, but they've got a bit of a story behind them. They are important songs to me. The first one I'm going to pick is DJ Ransom, Tribute to Scratching. Now,
what a track.
Good choice. You know that one, don't you, OB? Because we had the Melbourne DJ.
And we had the Ransom Show, and you had that song on the Ransom Show too, which got a lot of love.
So for those people around the world that have not heard of DJ Ransom, he's a legendary Melbourne Australian DJ, someone that essentially kickstarted the hip hop scene around the country, and he's just a dope DJ. And he put out a 45. Well, he put out the song, I should say, back in the mid 90s called Tribute to Scratching, which is a, you know, it's kind of a cut and paste scratch thing. And it got released on vinyl only very recently, about last year, as a 45 on a label called Miles Ago. And well worth picking up if you can find it on Discogs or eBay, because they've completely sold out. That's my first pick. DJ Ransom, Tribute to Scratching. Just an absolute legend in the Australian DJ scene.
And I could see why it would mean something to you, because it was so inspiring for you becoming the DJ that you did become.
Absolutely, yeah. Ransom, yeah, he's inspired me in a big way. My second pick is Richard Blandon and the Dubs, I'm Downtown. Now, that's an obscure 45. It's from the 50s. It's kind of this very Elvis-sounding 45.
I was going to say, is this one of those rockabilly type ones that I know you're, or the surf rock stuff that you're into? You know,
yeah,
I know
absolutely. A lot of people get it for the other side, the track Lost in the Wilderness, which is the side A. That's the one a lot of the collectors go for.
Yeah.
I like the B-side, I Am Downtown. It's just this really fun throwback, as I said, sort of rockabilly Elvis-style 45. And it's got this really cool sort of modal chord progression, and it's just great. It's a lot of fun. Reminds me of an era that I never grew up in. I'm not that old. But it reminds me of the era of my grandparents when they, you know, I'd go over to my grandparents' place on a Saturday morning, and they'd be watching they'd have the Elvis movie on TV at midday.
And we're always on Saturday afternoons and things like that. Yeah.
And they had they had this big silver mirror with Elvis's portrait sort of etched into the
Your grandparents were cool, man. You had some swinging grandparents, Shan. But hey, that I've got two questions for you. Okay, question one, how much did it cost you to purchase that 45?
Yeah.
A lot of money. I know how much those bad boys go for, like a lot.
Possibly
like
one of the most expensive 45s I've ever bought.
Yeah. So. But it's one you love, so it's worth it. Question two, did you ever drop it at Gonzo Soul Club?
I didn't own it then. Gonzo Soul Club, a legendary club in Sydney from a few years ago. No, and I'm looking forward to when COVID allows me to DJ to dance floor, so I can drop that one. Richard Blandon and the Dubs, I'm Downtown.
Sounds great.
Pick number three for me is MC Mitch Ski, Brooklyn Blew Up the Bridge. That's an obscure hip-hop release from the mid-80s. Now, I picked that one up when I was in New York a few years ago.
Dig in.
MC Mitch, I was at the Brooklyn, I think it was in the Williamsburg flea markets.
Yeah.
And I found it and it was like $2 American. It was absolutely nothing. And it's just an amazing 45. I've always loved it because it was a tune that was included on the Street Sounds Hip Hop Series number 17, I just love that series. And I think a lot of listeners over in Europe will be familiar with those Street Sound series. I think the MC Mitch Ski track opened up side B. On the flip side of this 12-inch is a track called DJ Red Alert Is a Great Man. And it was a tune that Red Alert used to play on his show. So I just love this track. It reminds me of that golden era of 80s hip hop, where it's not a really well-known tune. It's not one of the anthems, but it's super dope, underground and just big beats. Of course, MC Mitch Ski, I should mention, he was part of the BDP sort of greater Boogie Down Productions crew.
The bigger collective.
And he got caught up in those bridge wars between
the Juice crew
and BDP. Yeah, hence the name Brooklyn Blew Up the Bridge. You go.
I thought it would have something to do with that. But yeah, that entire sound just reminds me of watching like Style Wars the first time, you know?
Absolutely.
It's just all that time.
Pick number four. Now, you like this one, OB. This is taking it back to my family roots. I'm picking the Little River Band, Happy Anniversary. Now, as you know, OB, I don't talk about this too often. Let's talk about this. So Happy Anniversary was actually written by my father and Beebe Birtles, two members of the Little River Band. And this is a tune, I think it would be, 1978 or something.
Yeah, around that era.
I can't quite remember. It's an absolutely just a beautiful track. I love playing it. It's one of those few LRB tunes that I actually play as a DJ. And I think the older I get, the more comfortable I get with the fact that my dad was in the band. And, you know, I sort of grew up having all these amazing experiences as, you know, being around the band. you know, my dad touring and making records, yep. Hit records with those guys. And I never really sort of gave it too much thought as a younger man or as a kid. But the older I get, sort of the more accepting of it all I am. And I love that one, Happy Anniversary, who he wrote with Bee Birtles. It was a big hit for LRB.
Yep, and, big song.
So my next pick, my last pick, number five, I'm going with Bob James, the track El Verano. And that's taken off Bob James' number four. So my connection with that is... when I was first getting into digging in Melbourne, when I lived in Melbourne back in the late 80s and early 90s, I used to go to what were known as the Camberwell Sunday markets every Sunday at the crack of dawn. Now, these markets are big, big,
huge.
Flea
they
markets.
Still have them. They still have them. There's yeah. just not, it's a little bit more commercialized now, I find, but they still have them. I used to go to them when I first moved here, too.
At that time, I used to wake up at the crack of dawn. I'd be at the markets at 6 a.m, sometimes earlier. I quite often would find records on the CTI label. So I amassed this pretty big collection, a pretty amazing collection of CTI records, like all that really cool jazz funk stuff. Of course, Bob James released, all his albums on CTI.
Yep.
Now, I love all those CTI records, but this particular tune from BJ4, his fourth album, it just really resonates with me. It's moody.
What's about the track?
It's really moody, I guess, and yes. It just has one of those really cool chord progressions. El Verano, but I could have picked any of his tunes from Bob James. So takes me back to good times, digging at the Sunday Camberwell markets.
Isn't that what records for? Yeah. I used to write a column for InPress here for 10 years, and I did one end of the year wrap up where I basically just talked about why digging for records has been a very cathartic experience for me the entire time I've been there a DJ. It just mellows me out. I can have the most stressed day ever. If I walk into a record store, everything is forgotten. For some reason, just the digging, the fingers out, going through records, pulling stuff up, checking for it. It just, I don't know, always mellows me out.
I think that's something that a lot of the listeners of this podcast will be able to identify with. So big shout outs to Unops over in Germany. And thank you for having us on the show and letting me bum rush the show with my good buddy, DJ Oblivious, aka OV.
I hope you don't get in trouble for this, Shan.
We'll see. TheLowInTheory.com.au. Peace.
See ya.
Not in trouble, Shan. Thanks for your top five and big ups to y'all for participating in this Wax Talk episode and to all listeners for tuning in. You can check out this episode on Brooklyn Radio's Mixcloud site, Apple Podcasts, or on Spotify. Hear you next time and stay safe. Peace.
Hey, what's up?
You're listening up.
Wax Talk.
And right now I'm checking out Unox Drops
on Brooklyn Radio.
Wax Talk.